I was struggling every day, and songs would set me off, smells would set me off. The littlest things would just set me off. During that year of blackout, it was just, I was just trying to get by.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope.
Today's guest is Kathy Jumps. Kathy is a jump rope coach, mother of two, and a social media inspiration within the jump rope community. Kathy talks about the sudden death of her younger brother and the importance of finding community to walk through grief with you. I hope you enjoy the show, and please don't forget to subscribe. Now here's the conversation with Kathy Jumps. All right. So, Kathy, good to have you on the Do Hard Things podcast. I don't know how many people, I'm sure a lot of people are going to know who you are, but just in case they don't, when people ask you, like, what do you do, or who are you, what are you about, what do you tell them?
I mean, first and foremost, I usually start with saying I'm just a mom that likes to jump rope, because really that's what I do, what I am. That's how this whole thing started. But I've always been into physical fitness. Like, I love staying active. And it was when I found jump rope, that's when my whole life really kind of skyrocketed and changed. And that's really who I am now, is I'm a mom who jumps rope. I jump rope in my backyard while my kids are napping or while my kids are running around. And it's just my outlet. It's what I really enjoy doing.
Yeah. Do you think that people who know you well would, that's how they'd answer that question too?
I feel like yes, because 80% of the time you see my kids running in the back of my videos. So I think a lot of people refer to me as like the jump rope mom, because it's part of who I am. Like, my kids are always around, and that's the cool thing about jumping for me, is that they can be involved too. So like, I've started jumping with my daughter now too. And it's just,
oh, fun.
Yeah. I'm a mom that jumps rope.
Yeah. Okay. I need you to settle this for me once and for all before I ask this next question. Is it jumping rope, jumps rope, jump rope? Like, what's the right way?
I think I used them all interchangeably, and I started saying skipping, and I never used that.
You're so British.
I know. It's just because everyone says it. And then all of a sudden I was just having a casual conversation with someone one day, and I was like, oh yeah, do you skip? And I was like, who am I? What am I saying? I don't talk like that, but I usually say I jump rope. Like, that's I jump rope. I'm settling it here now.
Soul searching over. Okay.
That's it.
So the question I was going to ask you though is, maybe even 5 years ago, did you ever see yourself doing what you're doing now? Like, obviously you saw yourself being a mom, but like everything with jump rope and having a social media following and coaching and teaching people, like, was that ever on your radar?
Absolutely not. Never, never, ever on my radar. And I said to my husband, even before I came on, I was like, a lot of people ask me, like, how do you feel about inspiring thousands of people? And I was like, I don't know the answer, because that was never a thought in my mind that would ever escalate to this point. I always said, if I could inspire one person, that would make me insanely happy. And then like 75,000 people, like, it blows me away. It blows me away every time when I think about it. But this whole thing started is because I wanted to lose weight. Like, I gained a ton of weight with my first pregnancy, and I was always a runner. And we could probably talk about this later on with other questions, but running was my thing. Like, that was my meditative, like, movement. Like, I would put music on and I would just run long distances. Yeah. Like, I ran New York City Marathon. I would run 20 miles at a clip. Like, that was my thing. When I got pregnant, I couldn't go run 10 miles. I couldn't do what I was normally doing. So I gained a lot of weight, and it was also, I gave myself the freedom to eat whatever I wanted because I was
you're like, pregnant.
Let's go. Like, give me the ice cream. Cool Ranch Doritos, like Cheetos, pints of ice cream. My husband was like, who are you? But I just gave myself the freedom to like do whatever I wanted, and I gained 80 pounds. So I paid the price. But so what happened is after I had her, I put on my running clothes. I'm like, I'm going to go for a 5-mile run. And I literally like took 5 steps and my knees were like,
oh no,
all that extra weight on me. It was like an out of body experience. So yeah. I was like, I can't run. What am I going to do? And then I had like a cheap plastic jump, like the cheapest jump rope you could ever imagine. I don't even know where I got it from, but I put her down for a nap and I was like, let me just try a couple, like, I don't know, let me see how this works. And I'm telling you, even like that first jump, I was like, I like this. Like, this is really cool.
Mm.
And then, yeah, that's how it all started, really.
First jump. Like, I've been mulling this question in my head a lot. Like, what is it for, I'll call it the social jumper, or like what is it that sparks the like excitement for it?
Yeah, it's the challenge of it, because first of all, when I first started jumping, I had no idea what you could do with a jump rope. I just you think of like boxers or like, you know, just people like warming up. You just think of, a couple like boxer skips, regular jump. That's all I thought you could do. But even that was exciting to me because it's like, okay, I did one jump. I tripped on the second one. Then it became like a challenge for myself. Like, oh, can I do 5? Got 5 and I was like, can I do 10? And I think that's why people get so addicted to it, is that you can always take it one step further, whether it be just one more jump or a new trick or learning something, going a little bit more with your time. Like, there's always something that you can challenge yourself. I think that's the addictive nature to it. You get like this sense of like euphoria, like, oh my gosh, this is, I'm so cool, look what I just did, you know. I think that's why people just get addicted.
Yeah. Do you think that if it was just kind of isolated to you, the social media part of it didn't exist as much, that it would have as much staying power? And maybe it would for you, but how much does it play?
I think, well, social media gives you that sense of community, especially as we were going into the pandemic. Everyone was alone, essentially. Obviously, you're like with your family, but as far as exercise, gyms closed, people that were used to like group fitness classes were not in that anymore. So it became like a very solitary thing for people, you know, jumping rope. So when with social media and like the jump rope community just exploded, because I was in it before the pandemic and there was like 5 jumpers that I knew of. Now there's thousands and thousands of jumpers and you just have this sense of community. So it's like people are throwing out challenges, trying to keep up with other jumpers. So the social media aspect has played a huge role into all of this. Huge.
Yeah. So are you thankful for it?
Oh yeah. Beyond thankful. I've met so many people like from around the world. Like, we just had a New York City meetup with about 50 people that you're meeting face to face for the first time. And it's so cool.
So then I'm curious, what your husband's perspective is of all of this. You know, like, it's very much a family affair, and you know, you're talking about your kids, but like, what's his take and how involved is he? And
so he, during the pandemic, when he was working from home, he actually started jumping. Not like how I jump. He was just doing it like 5 minutes and then he would run. He was doing like intervals. But then when he went back to work, he couldn't keep up with it, but he thinks it's awesome. But he still doesn't get it. Like, and I think a lot of people watching this, like your spouse or significant other, like, I'll do something so epic, like be like the craziest thing I've ever done. And I'm like, Alex, look at this video. You're not going to believe it. And he's just like, cool, that's good. And I'm like, cool, that's good. Like, do you see what I just did?
You're making it look too easy, I guess.
Yeah. And he always says you got to put them in slow motion so I can see what you're doing. You see all these professionals do these tricks and that's the thing, they make it look really easy.
Yeah.
Because they're professionals and they've been doing it for years and years and years. It looks easy, but you don't realize how hard these things are, how hard, how many whips they've gotten learning it. And you know, there's a lot that goes into this stuff but they just make it look easy.
Yeah. And that's like to their credit and to the like detriment in a way of like the general public's appreciation for what they are seeing.
That's it. That's absolutely it.
Yep, yeah. That's why like people, I think this is my theory. That's why people love the footwork stuff. Cause they've all like tried it at some point, maybe at like eighth grade prom or whatever, you know, they tried breaking out their shuffle. And then they know, oh, I couldn't even do that without a rope. And now I'm seeing someone do it with a rope. That's pretty hard and cool, but nobody's ever tried a TJ and know like how hard it is, you know? So they,
that's
what, nor do they know what a TJ is. So
I know, right? Like all the jump rope lingo.
So what is, like, cause if you're talking about like progressing in the next challenge, what's the one for you right now? Like, what's the challenge that you're trying to check off?
I think for me, and it's, I now, I think, have all the tricks in my toolbox that I love doing and want to do. It's now all combining them together. So something like the Mamba, like the release where you're going side to side. Now it's just combining that with some cool footwork, being able to catch it while continuing on with footwork. So for me, it's learning all the tricks that I've wanted to learn. And now it's just combining them all together to make them look really, really super smooth.
Yeah. So are there two that you're stuck on combining?
So, yeah. So doing the Mamba with a backwards shuffle and jumping the Mamba while continuing the backwards shuffle. I could do the forward shuffle fine. Mambaing, I'm like, oh, this is great. I can catch it with the forward shuffle, but the backwards shuffle and catching it through while continuing the backwards shuffle is a beast.
That sounds like rub your tummy, pat your head kind of situation.
Well, that's exactly what it is, because you're moving your arm in a forward motion, your legs are going backwards, and then catching it is you're just combining those two together. So you almost have to separate your brain and your legs. I'll get it. That's the thing about me though, like, is when I put my mind to something, I will get it.
You're going to get it.
It's also the struggle as a mom trying to fit in that exercise and time for myself while having kids.
How do you balance, you know, really intentional time with them that's about them and having a job that is time intensive, but at home, like you're present with them, right? Mm-hmm. Like your job isn't taking you to a different building. So it's like they see it. And exactly. How do you balance all that? Because I'm sure there's lots of people who are trying to do that.
That's the thing. Yeah. So like I always dedicate pretty much an hour to 2 hours, especially in the morning, playtime with my kids, like one-on-one time. I don't have my phone on me. Like, this is our time. Let's go upstairs, play games, go outside and play. But also they know when I bring my jump ropes out, like mommy's working. Like they actually, because think of it, like since they were both newborns, I've been doing this. So it's just part of our routine. Like they know not to go near the mat, my mat, when my rope is flying from side to side. I've never hit them. Knock on wood, that never happened. But it's just part of our routine. It's what they've known since they've been a newborn. So,
yeah. So you fill their love tanks in the morning so that they can be like a sustained for however long it is.
For like, and sometimes, like, I'm not going to lie, it's not like I'm out here getting a full hour of jump rope. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. And, you know, I can get frustrated. I don't like outwardly show my frustration, but it's not perfect every day. Like I would be lying if I said like, oh, you know, bye guys, have fun playing. I'm going to jump rope for an hour. That's not going to happen with a 2 and 5 year old. So some days maybe that does happen, but other days it might just be 5 minutes and that's all right. It is what it is.
Yeah. You've got to reset your expectations a little bit.
That's exactly right. That's it.
Yeah. That sounds like being a parent.
That's what it is.
Well, that sounds also like a hard thing, trying to like do a really good job being a mom and have a job at the same time. Like we all know that it's a full-time job being a mom and then to add on top of that is not easy. So, kudos to you for having a really high capacity to pull off both. I only have to do one thing. So
yeah, it can be hard. It can be frustrating. And that's the other thing with social media. Is you see all like the highlights, like I'll post a video of like my kids hugging me on my mat and like we're jumping together and it's great, but you're also not seeing like my son throwing, you know, like a sand toy at me, or my daughter and him just like fighting. Like, and that's the thing with my videos, like I'll put music to it so you don't hear what's going on in the background. You don't hear like the mommy, she hit me, or the, you know, so
yeah. Oh, that's so true.
I know.
Covers all.
music covers all. I'm just smiling, jumping rope, and people watching have no idea. But that's also a problem, is that they think, oh, Kathy has it all together. She's great. She's a great mom. You know, the kids are so well behaved, but you don't know what's going on in the background. So
yeah,
that's the thing with social media and a highlight reel is, I'll turn the music off, you'll hear them fighting. it's not all perfect every day.
No, but that's like part of growing up. So
yeah.
So let's transition a little bit to like the primary question, you know, this podcast is built on, and that's what is the hardest thing in your life that you wouldn't take back?
It's a hard question for me to answer, because the hardest thing in my life I would take back, but also, so I'm going to answer it like two ways. The hardest thing in my life, and I've given you guys this story before. So my younger brother, Andrew, 22 years old, was killed in a hit and run accident in New York City. Crossing the road, pedestrian crosswalk, got hit, the car kept driving. That's it.
Yeah.
In a second, my life changed. And for me, that was the hardest thing and will always be the hardest thing that I've ever gone through. With the question, that's the hardest thing, but I would take that back in an instant to have him absolutely. Back here. But that catapult, that like set off my life trajectory, because my mindset changed. I became a different person that day. I went back to school. Every day I'm like, what can I do to make Andrew proud of me? And for me also, I think May is mental health awareness too. And I did want to
touch on
this. Yeah, because I also jump for my mental health. Like what happened when he died is I started running. That was my therapy. Combining music and just like getting my heart rate up. And if I was feeling really upset, I would just sprint and like, you know, get it all out that way. So when I got pregnant and I couldn't run anymore, I was like, you know, I felt anxious. I felt like this, I need something. Mm-hmm. So jump rope became my something. That's like, and I always use the term like exercise is my therapy, but really truly jump rope is my therapy. It's like a creative outlet. I can put music on. And same thing with running, jump rope has that same factor where you could do double unders for like 2 minutes and get that adrenaline and that anxiousness out real fast.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part of the hardest thing in my life, that is the hardest thing in my life. I would take it back in a second, you know, to have him here. But the second part of the question, the hardest thing that I wouldn't take back is becoming a mom. Like being a mom is extremely difficult, but I would never, ever tell you like, I don't want to be a mom. I'm not cut out for it, because it's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
It makes life hard. I'm waking up at 5 a.m. now, like where I used to sleep till like 11, like never have some coffee, you know, this is, you know, I watch some Netflix. Life changes when you have kids.
It does.
In a good way too, though. Like that's the thing, like it changes. I'm waking up at 5 a.m. I'm trying to, you know, get the kids ready to go places. It's very, very hard. I wouldn't take it back in a second though. It's the best. Yeah. So those are kind of my two answers.
Yeah, you're totally allowed to have two. I want to dive into both of them a little bit more. Yeah. So how far apart are you and your brother?
So he was younger. We were 8 years apart.
Okay.
My family, like, so I one of four siblings. And people always called us the Quinn Club, because we were and are extremely tight. Like my siblings are my best friends. Like we do everything together. So for that, what for him to just like that gone, I mean, my family, it was ridiculous. It was so hard. Even the year, 2 years even, you feel like you're in a fog. Like it's just trying to get back to some sort of normalcy, because inside, like I was like, don't people know what's going on?
Yeah.
But everyone else, like they don't. And you know, that's what was also rough. Like going back to work and trying to be a normal person was very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
So what was your like prevailing, and I'm sure there were different ones, but what was your prevailing emotion? You know, like when you found out, obviously sadness was present, but like.
Yeah. When I tell you, I like blacked out, like I just remember falling on the floor, and it was awful, because we were supposed to get together for my sister's birthday that day. We were all supposed to go to lunch, And Andrew lived in, he had just moved from New York City. He graduated from Cornell, like smartest dude, like so smart, like what a life he had ahead of him in hospitality. So he moved to the city, and my parents, I feel for them, because they didn't know how to tell us we were all supposed to meet for lunch. So they called each one of us individually. So when they told me I had the phone and I dropped the phone, my husband picked up the phone, and I think my parents were so, they just hung up, and my husband thought it was my grandmother that died. Because my grandmother was sick at the time.
Yeah.
He went, why would he think that Andrew was the one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like distraught on my bed. He was like, I'm going to take a shower. We're going to go down to your mom's house, blah, blah, blah. And then I hear him on the phone with someone. I think it was my old boss. He's like, Kathy's not coming to work. Her grandmother passed away. And I like shot out of bed. I was like, Alex, it was not my grandmother. So then it was me having to tell him the news. Then he lost it. And it was just, it was like a, like I got the news. Then I had to tell him the news because he didn't know exactly what was happening. But the whole week, like there were news stations were at our house. People were at my driveway trying to get interviews because it was a hit and run.
Yeah.
So it was a whirlwind. It was crazy. Just like microphones being shoved in your face. It's like, it was a very confusing time. And it was like I blacked out, to be honest with you. And I honestly blacked out for like a year. Like, I don't think I came back to like myself until a year later.
Like when you look back on that year and then that trend, like what was the transition period for you from like living in a blackout to like coming out into the light, I guess, so to speak?
It was like twofold. It was doing things that I knew he wanted me to do. I went back to school because I had like, I didn't graduate with my bachelor's yet. I was kind of playing around with school, working at a gym. And when that happened, I was like, he always wanted me to just finish my degree. So I started going back to school, graduated. And it really was this whole like kind of jump rope thing and gaining the traction and inspiring people is when I felt like he's proud of me right now. Like he's super proud of me. And that's when I started like taking bigger breaths and feeling like myself again.
Yeah. So in the, like, maybe you can't remember, but in that year period before, you know, you had that like light bulb, oh, what would he have wanted me to do? Like mentality. Can you describe what it's like to be in like a blackout season where it's just pointless, it sounds like?
Yeah. I don't want to offend anyone by saying this, but this is how I always refer to it. I called myself like an invisible amputee. Like I was literally missing a limb. I was living my life without a limb. Like I was trying to do daily activities and I couldn't do it because I was missing a part of me. And I feel like that's, you know, that's how I always refer to it, because people looking on the outside, I've got all my legs. My fingers, my arms, I'm a regular person. Like someone looking at me like she's normal, you know, but I was just struggling. I was struggling every day, and songs would set me off. Smells would set me off. When all of his clothes came back from his apartment, that like the littlest things would just set me off.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. Like seeing a cardinal would set me off because that was like my sign for him. So during that year of blackout, it was just, I was just trying to get by doing things that I would make me a little bit happy. But it was just putting one foot in front of the other, to be honest with you. And anyone going through like intense grief like that, like I can tell you it will get better. And I know it's hard to hear that because at the time it's like, this will never get better. Mm-hmm. Like it will never get better. But one foot in front of the other, get out of bed every day, it will get better. But you also have to find things that kind of bring you some sort of joy every day, just something.
Yeah. Were you able to in that year? And then I would imagine subsequently you were able to, but were you able to like talk to people and process it at all? Or was it all internalized?
So I did, I went to therapy. I went to like, what actually helped a lot was sibling group therapy sessions. So that's the thing. Like there's always a group for something. So I found a group of siblings who have also lost another sibling. And what's cool about that is that as a sibling, losing another sibling, there's a lot to it because you also have a parent that lost a child.
Yeah.
I don't know what that feels like. So I'm navigating trying to help my parents because they lost their son.
Yeah.
I lost my brother, my best friend. So, you know, being in a group with other people going through those same kind of feelings and emotions, that actually helped the most, making friends in that group. But, you know, it's, yeah, there's a lot of internal work, I think, that has to happen too, talking it through. But for a lot of people, I understand it's hard. Like even going to therapy, I was like tight lip because I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say. Like this, it's just, it, I always said, I'm like, this sucks. This is so, it just, it's terrible. And why is this happening to me? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like you have a answer to the why at this point?
No, I don't think I'll ever have an answer to the why. Like it's just one of those things. And that goes back to that question of it was such a horrible thing. And you know, I am not a believer in things happen for a reason. I'll never say that because I've been through this. This wasn't supposed to happen. Like he was a thriving 22-year-old kid. Like there was no reason, you know what I mean? So yeah, it was really hard and it's still hard. Like like I said, it gets better, but there are still times now. And I know a lot of people refer to grief as these waves and I couldn't describe it better. Like sometimes I'll be sitting in the ocean and there's not one wave, but let me tell you, the next day a tidal wave could knock me over. It's just how it goes. And then the next day it's going to be smooth, you know?
Yeah.
So it's crazy how grief works. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the waves over time become smaller or are you able to anticipate them or.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. They become smaller and I can feel like, I'll know if I'm having like a bad day and if I'm having a bad day, I'll do things that bring me happiness. Like you better believe I'm going to get like an hour jump rope session.
Because there's no 5-minute session.
No 5 minutes there. Kids, I'm sorry. You're going to your grandparents' house.
Yeah. Like,
it's just that movement. I'm telling you, the movement for me is what gets me out of it.
Have you thought about more like what it is about movement that is so therapeutic?
I think it's just that, I don't know, that adrenaline, it releases serotonin in your brain. Like you get those happy, good feels.
Yeah.
But also the cool thing, both with running and jumping, it's the music for me. So combining the two, putting on a song that brings me like life and a song that I really love and combining that jump rope with it, that just makes me feel so much better. And the other thing that, I forgot to mention this, the other thing that first year and second year and third year, actually what I did is helping people also like just makes me feel good. So I started volunteering at this kids grief camp up in Boston. It was a weekend filled with, there was about 200 kids that have lost a parent, a sibling, a grandparent, uncle, aunt, someone close to them. And just helping people and being in an environment where people could talk about it openly and no judgment and just, you know, and we did a lot of movement therapy things with the kids, like games and just running on the field as fast as you can, or like throwing plates, because you need that just release sometimes, just like the anger is inside you. You need something to just like release it. So exercise, a punching bag, punching your pillow. Sometimes you need to do that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So how much after that happened, or how many years between your brother dying and then the birth of your first child?
So it was 4 years.
Okay.
So he passed away 2013. 2014 and 15 is when I was really running. That's when I ran the New York City Marathon for Andrew. Like I ran for a group called Camp Erin, which is the camp that I volunteered at, raised money. And then 2016 is when I became pregnant.
Okay. So it was four years. And do you feel like, you know, cause hard thing one, hard thing two, like what that came out of your brother's death has impacted the way you are a parent and like addressed and tackled this new hard thing?
Yeah. So like I said, when he died, I'll never be the same person that I was before because of certain things. Like I cherish every freaking moment. I tell people that I love them. When I love someone, you better believe it, I tell you that I love you. You're going to be like, this girl hugs way too hard. Those are the things that I've taken away from his death. Like my kids, that's why I get that like 2 hours with them. Like I want them to have all of my attention. They are my life. I don't want them to ever think like, mommy's mad at me, I did something bad, she doesn't love me. No, you could throw your yogurt on the floor. Yeah, I'll be mad, but guess what? I still freaking love you.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I always say that, like, mommy's upset right now, but I love you. And that's what I've taken away from his death and moving forward as a parent is just valuing and cherishing every single moment and just letting them know how much they matter and how much I love them.
Yeah. And are they, because obviously this all happened before they were born,
yeah,
and like how much of that story and experience are they, I mean, they're young kids, but are they aware of, and have they had a chance to understand as a significant impact?
Because of their age, like I have pictures of Andrew everywhere because I never want them to not know who he was. So they know Uncle Andrew, like, he's a star in the sky. Like that's kind of how, yeah, we're wording it right now. Like, this
reminds me of Lion King.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
Or like I have a tattoo of his heartbeat.
So oh,
they,
cool.
Obviously they see like that. And I always say what it is. That's Uncle Andrew's heartbeat. When I see a cardinal, that's always been my sign for him. So when we see that, like Willow, my daughter will be like, it's Uncle Andrew. And I'm like, and that makes me feel good because, yeah, I want his memory to just, I want them to know who he was, you know, and as they get older, I'm sure they'll hear more about what happened and understand it more. But for right now, they just know he's not around. He's a shining star and he was my little brother. So,
yeah. Yeah. So when you're, you know, parenting, like those are hard conversations and things that you'll have to process. Like, what makes parenting hard right now?
Oh my gosh. Well, yesterday's events with the shooting, it's just like that, I think. And I, these are the things that I'm learning as I go. Like, the world is a crazy place right now. I don't even know how to talk to them about those kind of things. And I still think they're too little. Like, they don't need to,
yeah,
know anything. They don't need to know anything as they get older. Everything I've heard from other parents, like as they're getting into elementary school, middle school, like hiding under a desk, I guess, is like a normal thing that they're learning to do. Like, these are the kind of things that I know us growing up, we never did that.
Yeah.
You know, but this is the new norm. And as a parent, I mean, I'm learning as I go, to be honest with you. I don't even know how to have those conversations just yet.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's rough.
Yeah. So, and I've increasingly in the last, not even that long, maybe month, talking to older parents, I'm like, oh man, I'm so thankful that I have little kids right now, because I have their full attention and respect, and their emotional like turmoil is so small, and it's all related to me, and I can fix it in like a second, you know?
Yeah.
But like,
yes,
as they get older, you know, like there's so much more that I like have no control over. That I like have to help process, and they won't even share all of it. You know, I'm like listening to all this. It's so complicated.
It's so complicated. No one told me this kind of stuff was going to, you know,
yeah,
as it starts happening, and it's learn as we go, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's all you can do. Right. And
yeah,
that's true of most situations in life.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't take it back though. What about being a mom is the greatest like blessing or joy to you in this season?
I would say right now, it's just the ability to be at home with them. You know, I used to work in an office. I don't do that anymore. I get to be at home with them. And just spending all that time, seeing them grow up and having this time with them, playing with them. Because, you know, everyone, I'm sure people tell you this, they're like, it goes by so fast. And I was always the type, I was like, no, it doesn't.
This is a long year.
But it's crazy how fast it actually is going by. Like, I look, even videos from last year, my daughter was so much tinier, but it doesn't feel like that long, you know? So it's just, I think it's just having this time with them while I, you know, while I can before they go to school that I just love. I love it. I really, and they're fun. This age is just a lot of fun. Just seeing their eyes, like breaking out the sprinkler the other day. Who knew a sprinkler could be like the best thing in the entire world? And yeah. I found myself just like looking at them because they were having so much fun. And I was like, this is so great. It's just some water.
Like the practical side of me as a dad is like, no, you don't need to get wet right now. It's not even that hot. Like, we have to change your clothes. And it's like, wait a second. It doesn't matter. Just go have fun, you know?
That's the thing. And that's how I always was. Last year, I was like, no, you got to take a bath. You're like throwing sand. You're stepping in mud. But now I've changed. I'm just like, whatever. Go do whatever you want. Just have fun and be safe about it. But yeah.
Oh, that's good. So you talked about this for a second when you were talking about your brother. Like you gave a piece of advice that was like, it'll end. Like this season isn't forever. Do you have any other like pieces of advice for people? And they may not be in the exact same situation you were in, but they're in their own difficult season. Like what advice would you have for them?
I mean, my advice for anyone going through a really, really tough time is do not be afraid to reach out and ask for help. I think a lot of people struggle with that because they just want to keep it inside, or they think they don't want to trouble anyone else or stress anyone else, but ask for help if you need it. That is number one. And secondly, like I said, just one foot in front of the other, like focus on one. For me, this is what I did. I focused on like one small thing every day, like whether it be, maybe that could just be getting out of bed. Cause I know a lot of people, severe depression, getting out of bed is like a huge deal. So small goals, get out of bed if you can, even if it's just like a couple minutes, just always try to move forward with it. One foot in front of the other. That's really all that I can say is just, reach out for help and just do the best that you can, because it's hard. It's not, a lot of people are going through a lot of things.
Especially, so the value of reaching out is, it sounds like you realize you're not the only person going through that. And is there anything else that's like, maybe people aren't thinking why they should do that, you know, like why is that what I need to do?
So something like that support group that I touched on, like here I am in my own head, like I'm the only person feeling this way. No one knows what I'm going through. Like my friends, like my friends are amazing. I love them, but they don't understand. They're like, it's okay. It'll get better. And here I am like, you don't know what I'm going through. So support groups, reach out, Google it. There are support groups for everything. If you've lost a parent, if you've lost a sibling, there's a group for everybody, and being around like-minded people that were going through the same thing, that was a game changer.
So you knew that what they were sharing with you carried weight because they understood the like depth of the emotion.
Absolutely.
Versus, you know, somebody who really meant well, but it didn't stick because it's like, well, thank you, but you don't. It's not coming from a place of understanding.
Yes. And that's the thing, like, and I said this before, it's hard to begin with. Anyone listening, like if you are dealing with someone who has lost someone, no one ever knows what to say. There's never the right thing to say. It's always a hard thing. But when people would be like, everything happens for a reason, it just used to get me so angry. Because at the time you're like, no, everything does not happen for a reason. This isn't supposed to happen. But all I can say is if you're struggling to find the right words, just tell someone I'm here for you if you need me. That's all you got to say.
Yeah. So from your perspective, was it helpful to have friends who like acknowledged the difficulty and were willing to like speak with you about it versus like pretending like it didn't happen because they didn't know what to say?
Absolutely. Yep. And that's the other thing. It's because it's hard. You don't know what to say. So some people don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the right way to do it either, because it has to be acknowledged in one way or another. So yeah, saying something is better than saying nothing. You can't ignore it because someone's pain is just, it's there and it needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah. It's probably a little bit all consuming and depending on the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's better to have a friend who stumble through it with you and maybe mess it up and say the wrong thing, but at least be trying than to like set it aside completely.
Exactly.
That's true. Good.
Yeah. Okay. I'm happy you brought that up because I wasn't even thinking that, but now that you say it, it's so true for the people that didn't say anything to me. It was upsetting.
Yeah. You're like, There's only one thing I want to talk about.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good for me to keep in mind too. Like I was curious before I met my wife, like right before her mom had passed away, we've talked about that a little bit. Like, and so I'm always curious, that was her perspective, but is that mm-hmm. everybody's perspective? You know, she likes to process verbally, but not everybody does. And so,
yeah, but that's why I think it's good to always say to someone, I'm here if you need me, if you ever want to talk, call me, whatever. I'm always here for you is a good way, because it opens that door. If the person wants to talk about it, they know that they can, versus you saying nothing. And then they're like, why didn't they say anything to me? This is my life right now. I'm dealing with something really hard and yeah. they're not even acknowledging it. So definitely say something.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to ask one thing to wrap up the like do hard things. How, like when you think about being a mom, it's the hard thing you're doing right now. How have you changed and how have you grown as a result of being a mom so far?
I mean, the level of responsibility that's put on you when you become a parent is a lot. So I've grown in a way that just like, I'm responsible for two little humans, you know. I can't go out, I don't go out drinking. I'm not like, you know, going out on the town anymore. Like my life is here. It's home a lot, taking care of the two kids. I think it's just the level of responsibility kind of has changed me. And also like my listening skills, there's a lot of little things that have changed. And just going back to jump rope and how I think a lot of people call me the jump rope mom. Like I get a lot of DMs from people because I think they feel like I'm like the jump rope mom, like asking for advice, not only with jump rope, but like with their kids or how to get jump rope in with kids. People tell me they're pregnant. Like I feel like a lot of people just reach out to me because, I'm a mom. I just like an all-encompassing mom. But I think how it has changed me is just being a lot more responsible. And I feel like I grew up when I had kids. I don't know how else to describe it. But I'm also really, really ridiculously like goofy and silly. Like that's just my personality. That's how I've always been.
Yeah.
So having kids has kind of magnified that also.
Oh yeah. Like you just get to totally lean into it. Cause there is no judgment coming from your kids.
Exactly. Like if I get laughs, I'm like the funniest person.
Killing
ever.
It right now. Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I think as I learned from you indirectly, steezing.
Steezing.
I was like, what is that? I had an Urban Dictionary, that word.
I do have to go touch on that. That I actually got from Andrew. And that is one of the reasons why I say it so much.
Okay.
So steezing was big in the skiing and snowboarding community, and Andrew was like he was an amazing skier. Like he skied all over the everywhere, France, you know, Canada. He was a big skier. So when you're skiing and you're like doing these tricks and it's like super cool, you're doing it with style and you're making it look easy. So that's steezing. And it's just like when Andrew skied, he was steezy. Like he was just super smooth. And like, there's this trick called a butter where like you go up on the tips of your skis and you just like spin around. That was like the ultimate steeze. So when I started jumping and people were like, you make it look so easy. I was like, am I steezing? Am I a steezy jump rope of me? Andrew, is that you?
Wow.
And that's why I started using it so much. And I love seeing other people use it because it feels to me like Andrew's here a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of silly saying it, but that's how I feel when I hear that word.
That's cool.
That's his words. But it that's how I jump. Like I want to add some cool style and I want to make it look easy. Like someone watching it be like, I can do that.
Yeah.
And they get that spark and they want to learn.
Yeah. So the other signature thing of yours is your sunglasses.
Yeah. It's sunny, as you can see, like my mat's here and like where I'm sitting right now, the sun just comes right down. So I just always wore sunglasses because I don't know, I always did. And it was super sunny. Then when I started doing releases and Mambas, the handle would literally hit me in the face.
Oh.
And my sunglasses saved me. Like there have been times where the handle will knock the sunglasses right off my face. And if I didn't have them on, it would like hit my eyeball. So they look cool. They protect me from the sun and they protect my eyeballs from the rope.
So where, like for people who are listening and they haven't heard of you before, like how can they find you? How can they follow you? How can they start to learn how to be steezy jumpers?
So Instagram is my main platform right now. So Kathy Jumps is my handle. I have my awesome rope with you guys.
Yeah.
So the rope that we have is, it's the rope that I've always used for tricks, releases all the super steezy stuff.
Uh-huh.
Just my favorite rope in the colors. They pop. I just love them so much. And then coming July 5th, I will be having an app coming out.
So oh, that cool.
That is happening. I'm really excited. It's been in the works for a really, really long time. But mom life, things are moving a little slower. But that'll just be another area for people to learn.
Okay, really. So if they follow you on Instagram, they'll be able to see what the app is and when it releases and all that stuff.
The updates will all be on there. But also Instagram is cool where if you go to my page, Kathy Jumps, go into the guides section. I have everything in there. So tutorials, challenges, basic footwork, basic tricks. A start here guide, where literally day one, you can go to that. Follow along videos. So there's a lot of beginner friendly things there for someone who's just starting.
That's awesome. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people jumping on the train, pun mm-hmm. intended, in the next few years. So, and you've got great resources for them. Yeah, well, Kathy, thanks for taking some time. Obviously, that's not easy to do when you've got two little kids and they want all of your time. So thanks for giving us a little bit of it and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you're encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.